You are with Tess Connery, and I am joined right now by Michael Jones, fresh off the presses, to give us a movie review of the week. Michael, how you doing?
Well, I'm not quite as fresh as you made out. I'm probably a bit riper than that. Yeah, I've come from the midnight screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story.
You've just rolled out of the cinema and into the studio,
well,
basically.
Well, no, I managed to catch a couple of hours of sleep there. But they did give us 20 minutes of ads before the film
last night,
which did kind of suck. It's the first time in the last 3 Star Wars films that they have done that at the midnight screening, so I wasn't very impressed.
Well, they were like, you're trapped.
With that cinema chain. Damn you. Anyway, I should talk about the film rather than complain about the cinema, shouldn't I? Solo, A Star Wars Story, or is it Solo, the story Disney said we had to have? Ka-ching. Because, you know, we couldn't have just left it as a few tall tales spun by Han in the original trilogy, could we? No, this is Han Solo's, or Alden Ehrenreich's, backstory, from Oliver Twist-style young scoundrel to reluctant Imperial trooper. Well, he did get kicked out of the Imperial Flight Academy because he couldn't follow orders. Back to now adolescent scoundrel when he hooks up with Chewie, Eunice Swatomo, and a band of ne'er-do-well smuggler thieves headed by Beckett, played by Woody Harrelson, and Val, played by Tandy Newton. Paul Bettany also pops up in this film, playing a character called Dryden Voss, the main villain of the film, and his lieutenant is a woman called Kira, played by Emilia Clarke.
Oh, I know that name.
Game of Thrones.
Yes, I know that one.
Yet another diminutive British actress playing an urchin slash rebel slash rogue slash orphan with an accent that suggests she probably would have been one of the first guests invited to the royal wedding and got inside the church rather than the bunch that had to sit outside on the weekend. Go figure. It's so much for diversity in casting there. Anyway, I think somebody's got a thing for diminutive British actresses over at Star Wars land. Yes, and we do get to meet Lando Calrissian, played by Donald Glover in this one, a character I still haven't forgiven for his betrayal of Han Solo in The Empire Strikes Back. This is a man who has more capes than an English nanny. Much was made of Lando Calrissian's pansexuality before this film came out, like that was some sort of virtue. It's only really so he can screw over everybody.
Oh, good.
Yes. Look, whilst Glover does give the character way more charisma and cool than Billy Dee Williams ever did, he still confirms my original opinion of Lando as being lower than a snake's asshole.
Good times. Did you actually like this film? Do you think it's any good?
Isn't it any good? Well, it's a very impressive visual spectacle, as Star Wars films usually are, but many sequences actually seem to have been borrowed from previous Star Wars films, especially the pod race from The Phantom Menace. I kept getting flashback to that in one particular sequence. And I'm sure the Millennium Falcon made a similar escape across the galaxy in A New Hope at one point. And I'm sure you're familiar with both of these, aren't you? Because you've seen all the Star Wars films.
Crickets chirping.
Right, okay. We'll have to get onto that. Apparently Han Solo is some sort of great pilot, one of the best in the galaxy, but we never actually see him in training at the Imperial Flight Academy. Was his time there so short that there's just no footage of him doing it? I don't know.
On a student, just in and out.
Yeah, in and out. Look, Alden Ehrenreich, he does have the mannerisms and swagger of Han Solo, but he does lack Harrison Ford's deeper, gravelly-voiced delivery style. But maybe it's better that he doesn't have that, because ridiculous dialogue usually does sound more plausible coming out of a younger actor's mouth. There's something about Star Wars and really bad dialogue. But is this Han Solo capable of shooting first? Well, probably not you, me, Greedo, and anyone who might be listening know very well that Han Solo did shoot first in that cantina on Tatooine. But you'll just have to watch this film to find out if he does shoot first or not. Look, the film is probably 15 to 20 minutes too long, but my main gripe with Solo is some dodgy chronology. Either travelling at light speed through space in a galaxy far, far away. Hey, the Millennium Falcon did make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, but you already knew that, didn't you?
I knew that. Just you said it and I was already on it.
Yeah, like, so either travelling through the space at light speed does slow the space-time continuum, or whatever the physics of it is, down for the traveller so much, or Han was well over 50 years old when he does encounter Luke, Leia, and Obi-Wan in the original Star Wars A New Hope.
Oh, really?
Making him, pretty dirty old man, given his relationship with Leia following that point. Look, Solo, a Star Wars Story, it could possibly have been the Deadpool of the Star Wars franchise in a Disney sort of way, but I guess that was never going to happen once the original directors, who were Phil Lord and Chris Miller, once they were replaced by Ron Howard, Mr. Play It Safe, that was never going to happen. But you've still got a fairly serviceable film. There is a lot to like about Solo, a Star Wars Story, but when it's over, you have to ask yourself, was it really necessary? Did we really need the answers to questions that some of us never really had? I'll sum it up by saying, I've got mixed feelings about this.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure.